Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Okay, Houston, we've had a problem here.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we've had a problem. We've had a main beam bus undervolt.
Roger, main beam undervolt. Okay, stand by, 13. We're looking at it.
Okay, right now, Houston, the voltage is looking good. And we had a pretty large bang associated with the caution and warning there.
That's the voice of Apollo 13 Command Module pilot Jack Swigert. The craft was launched on April 11, 1970, but the lunar landing was aborted after an oxygen tank exploded 2 days later, crippling the mission. Despite great hardship, the crew returned safely to Earth on April 17th. This is really a special podcast for us. First, we feature the Go for Life exercise manual on our website. We provide a free download of the workout on the go. And after you hear this show, I think you'll agree this is really a well-researched and great plan for exercise that can be achieved by most anyone over 55. Secondly, we have the distinct pleasure of speaking to the co-chair who put together this exercise program. She is Chandra Dutra, Ph.D., Chief Clinical Gerontology Branch Division of Geriatrics and Clinical Gerontology of the National Institute on Aging. Her list of accomplishments includes she is an internationally recognized expert in physical activity, exercise, muscle physiology, energy metabolism, and nutrition in older adults. First of all, let me thank you so much, Dr. Dutra, for taking the time to talk with us. And let me just start off by asking you, how did you decide to design this exercise program and why?
That's a very important question. So basically, it's now probably 15, maybe even close to 20 years ago, we were getting, the National Institute on Aging was getting a lot of calls from the general public. Some from children, some children of older parents, and some of the grandparents that were calling us, trying to ask us for exercise advice. And at the same time, we realized that when you go to gyms or other locations that they have exercise materials for older adults, some of the advice was, it wasn't clear that some of the advice was actually evidence-based. In other words, there is scientific research to back up what the recommendations are saying. So that that inspired us to actually gather what the NIA and NIH has funded in terms of exercise research for older adults, and to package it in a way to make it useful to the general public in terms of what they can or cannot do or shouldn't do or what they should consider in terms of exercise. So one of the most important things about our Go for Life materials and the exercise guide is that it is completely evidence-based. There is research conducted in specific age groups for which those exercise recommendations are made. What we did was to put together a panel of exercise experts, and these are the actual investigators who conducted these different studies. We formed an exercise and expert panel, and they reviewed all the evidence, reviewed which studies were sufficiently valid to be included as recommendations in the guide, and that's how the That was the basis of the Go for Life campaign.
So much of the time we think about the importance of the aerobic exercise and getting the heartbeat up and so forth. And I'm not an exercise specialist, but I do work out. But I don't see a lot in terms of getting that heart rate up, or what am I missing something there?
No, not at all. We talk about progression. I think one of the things we tried to do with the Go for Life materials is not to focus on any one particular exercise group, because we feel that all four, which are highlighted in the materials, are absolutely important for everybody to do. So the four categories of exercises that should be incorporated into anybody's exercise regime are aerobic, the cardiovascular exercises that you specifically alluded to. The importance of strength training, I cannot stress enough for even middle-aged to older adults. Particularly, everybody's familiar with osteoporosis and loss of bone, but it also happens that there are similar losses in skeletal muscle. And unfortunately, the best we can do is try to prevent the loss, because so far we have yet to identify ways in which we can rebuild skeletal muscle to the same level in older age that we once had. So the strength training is incredibly important. The next area is actually balance. And balance is probably an underappreciated area of exercise by people of all ages. We take our balance skills for so granted, and then it isn't until we actually lose those abilities that we realize how important they are.
Yes, that seems like an issue that we start sensing our balance seems to be escaping us a little bit as we get older.
Not only that, but, you know, several years ago, and this is anecdotal evidence, I always like to share this story because somebody who had worked with firemen, who you know are in top shape, they have to be, somebody actually used the balance tests in our materials and tested these firemen on their balance skills. And it turned out that some of the firemen actually didn't do well on some of the balance tests. So it just goes to show you that you can regularly run, you can regularly strength train, but there are just unique aspects of those balance exercises that you need to keep up with even at younger ages so that you don't run into those problems as you get older.
So Go for Life acknowledges that and has some advice on how to handle that or how to improve your balance.
Exactly. And then the fourth area of exercise is flexibility. And again, you know, people think about stretching, but I too work out, and I see some people at the gym, and they do their spinning classes, they do their kickboxing classes, and then they just leave. They don't really stretch. They don't work on their flexibility. But flexibility is so important. It enables you to do little things in life, and later on, flexibility can be important in terms of having the range of motion you need to be able to get dressed or to even cook, to reach up to the top shelf of your cabinet to get whatever ingredients you need to cook. So these four areas impact your life on such a regular basis, but they also enable you to do maybe some of the things that you dream about doing, which may be, you know, going hiking or running a marathon, some physical challenge that you aspire towards.
So these by using these exercises, it may allow you to do something more extreme, if you will.
Sure. Sure, and that's one of the things we put in the exercise materials. We try to encourage people to exercise and not feel that they have to limit themselves by their age. What limits themselves is their history of how active they have been. So if somebody is really a couch potato, I think for them to envision they're going to run a marathon in a week is going to be very unrealistic, and they're likely going to set themselves up for injuries. However, if that's what you aspire to run through a marathon, then we give you guidance in the book on how you can progress through those levels. And if that's what you want to do, if you're capable of doing it and you've gone to the doctors and your chronic conditions, if you have any, are under control, then there's no reason for you to not go for it.
Now, is this recommended on a daily basis, or how frequently should someone be using exercises like this?
So the public health guidelines tell you to get at least 30 minutes of physical activity every day. And physical activity is an umbrella term for any kind of voluntary movement. What we recommend in the guide are exercises, meaning that there's a structure and a purpose to that movement. And so the public health guidelines say you should get about 150 minutes of physical activity in the week. The exercise guide goes a step further than that, no pun intended. We encourage people to exercise every day, to alternate the variety of strength training that they do, and it actually adds up to close to 300 minutes of physical activity and exercise in the course of the week. That is asking a lot, but once you start to do it, it doesn't seem like a lot.
Well, yeah, you bring up a good point there. Getting started to do it, sometimes if people have been a couch potato, even that can be a bit daunting for them.
Sure, but I think that there are ways that you can make it less unpalatable, so to speak, or make it seem less like a chore. So one of the things that we found out through our research is that having an exercise buddy is a powerful tool to keep you motivated and to get you motivated in the first place. There's nothing like peer pressure at any age to get you to do something and to stick to it. So if you are a couch potato, find a friend. Find a friend who is a couch potato, or find a friend who's not a couch potato, even better. And then ask, we have in our Go for Life materials, we have sort of an exercise buddy agreement. It's sort of this friendly little contract that you sign with your friend, and you say, okay, we're going to stick to this. And you can build in rewards along the way. So if the two of you agree, or it doesn't have to be two people, it can be a group, if they agree that they're going to walk 2 miles every day and they've done it for a week, well, by all means, you know, go have a treat or do something, that go see a movie together, something that you feel is a reward for all the work you've put into your exercise routine.
Now, we're seeing a certain rise in other kinds of activities, such as dancing and so forth, and I suppose any kind of activity is good, so one can't say one is bad. I mean, getting out there and dancing around the floor is activity, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the Go for Life materials encourages people to be creative. I think that one of the biggest things that people have to keep in mind is that you're more likely to stick to an exercise routine and be more physically active if you enjoy doing it and those activities are of interest to you. So we point out in the exercise materials that things like gardening, walking, dancing, bowling, whatever your interests might be, are part of being physically active. So we try to encourage people not to be so boxed in with their thinking about what physical activity is and how they might become more active and what exercises they need to do, or even where they need to do it. You don't have to go to a gym. You can do things at home. We've given you examples of using different kinds of household materials for weights, so on and so forth.
As we wind up the time that we agreed to, let me just ask you, what short and long-term benefits, if someone were to wonder why they should be doing exercise, what kind of benefits are there?
So the benefits of exercise are pretty well known. I don't think there's anybody on this planet who doesn't know that exercise is good for you. We have research to show that exercise reduces your risk for many chronic diseases, particularly heart disease, diabetes. The incidence of some forms of cancer are lowered being physically active. And as I mentioned earlier, our musculoskeletal system benefits from being active. It makes natural sense that your muscles and bones benefit from exercise. So in terms of aging conditions, it helps you maintain your bone mass so that you don't develop a risk for fractures, and also maintains your muscle mass, which is an aging condition known as sarcopenia. It further on down the line, sarcopenia might lend to problems walking, balance problems, and so exercising across the lifespan, even those who start in middle age and old age, can benefit in many ways in both in terms of maintaining a good bone mass, muscle mass, as well as lowering their risk for chronic diseases.
And you touched upon my next question. It's never too late, it sounds like.
It's absolutely never too late. And the prime example I give is one of the landmark studies in exercise research in older adults was conducted in the 1990s. And it was a strength training study of 90-year-olds. And these 90-year-olds were in a nursing home. And following a short period of resistance training, they demonstrated gains in strength. So there's absolutely no excuse to use age to limit yourself to say, okay, it's too late, I shouldn't exercise. You probably stand to lose more by being sedentary than attempting to do some sort of physical activity or exercise.
And are there any precautions that people need to know about?
What we advise in the guide is that if you have any undiagnosed symptoms, we encourage you to go to the doctor and have them check you out. If you feel that you need to get an okay from your doctor, even if you've been visiting them regularly, we encourage you to take the Go for Life materials with you at your next doctor's visit and discuss it with them. Aside from that, we give tips for each of the four types of exercises on how to do them safely so that you can progress in your exercise routine without unnecessarily injuring yourself.
Well, great. Any final words that you can think of?
I think my big advice is go out there and just do it and do what you enjoy so that you're more physically active.
And go for life, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, thanks so much for your time. It's really a great piece of research and publication, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.